Good evening and welcome once again. Many years ago, I had the privilege of going over the mountains of Judea and spending some time in the cave of Adullam, well known to King David. This afternoon, out walking on my usual walk, I passed the Spanish Wells cave, and a friendly voice said, "Hi, Mr. Preacher." So I thought I would go in and reciprocate and show kindness. I sure felt sorry for these men in that place, trusting they'll leave the liquor of the Spanish Wells cave and come to the living water right here in the chapel. So pray for such men. They sure need help. Shall we turn, please, to three scriptures? The first in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. I'm reading verse 31:3-1. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Second scripture, in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 9, I'm reading verse 32:3-2. "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. And all that dwell at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of great works, and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and dying, whom when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he should not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up, and when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known through all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner." Final scripture, please, in the first epistle by Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and reading verse 1. "Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect treasures. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, but unto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once again, the Lord will bless these readings from his precious word. Tonight, the subject is Peter, the Shepherd. And a real pleasure to have examined with you some of the incidents in the life of Peter. Peter, the Shepherd. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you remember he gave gifts to men. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. There are men who are essentially evangelists, and they do not have the gift of a teacher. There are others who are teachers, and they have not the gift of an evangelist. But some have been privileged to have had several gifts, and we have known such men in our day. Well, the Apostle Peter was such a man that had many gifts. We saw that on the evening in the subject, Peter the Fisherman. That Peter was a man who could cast a net. He was a real evangelist. And 3,000 souls were brought into the kingdom as he lowered the net. And then we saw him using the hook to bring one soul into the kingdom in Acts chapter 3. Peter was an evangelist. But Peter also was an elder, a pastor in the right sense of the word, an overseer. Peter had the gift of a shepherd. But also, Peter had the gift of a teacher. The Lord said upon his restoration, he said, feed the lambs and feed the sheep. So the Apostle Peter had these three functional gifts that go down to the end of time. The evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. The evangelist is a man that finds a sheep. The pastor, the elder, the overseer, the shepherd is the man that fortifies the sheep. And the teacher is the man that feeds the sheep. And Peter had tremendous equipment in these given areas. Tonight we want to look with you for a few moments at Peter, the shepherd. Here in chapter 22, we have Peter's failure. And then in Acts chapter 9, we see Peter's family. In the 1 Peter chapter 2, we see Peter's focus. Peter's failure. You and I cannot read this section of God's word without feeling our own inadequacy, our own insufficiency, our own inefficiency, our own incompetency. And what sort of things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can relate our own experiences to these experiences of Peter. But the man who was an awful failure became a tremendous success. And so there's encouragement that when we turn back, there is always restoration and revival and God can use us for His glory. First of all, we will look at the sifting in this chapter 22, and then the supplicating, and then the strengthening, and then the succumbing. The sifting. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Wherever you find a double name in Scripture, it's of vital importance. Doubly vital in its importance. Because all Scripture is important. The first time you have a double name is in Genesis 22. Abraham, Abraham. That was a call to deliverance. About to plunge the knife into the heart of his boy, God said, "Abraham, Abraham." And that was a call of deliverance. And there in the thicket was a ram caught by its horn. Then in Exodus chapter 3, there was a call to reverence. "Moses, Moses, take the shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon you stand is holy ground." 1 Samuel chapter 3, "Samuel, Samuel." That was a call to service. And again, how encouraging that even the youngest, just a boy, he says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And then you will remember in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, "Martha, Martha." That was a call of rebuke. A gentle rebuke, nevertheless. The Lord Jesus Christ stood there on the Mount of Olives, tears coursing down his cheeks. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen, doth gather her brood under her wing, but ye would not." That was a call of compassion. Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That was a call of conviction. But here, my friends, it's a call of warning. It's a call of warning. For Peter, and for you, and for me. You see, Satan had entered into the heart of Judas, and he sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. But Peter is real wheat. Peter was a man who was a true child of God in spite of his failure. Now Satan damned the soul of Judas, but he could never touch the soul of Peter. But he can cause a temptation and thus dishonor his master. And Satan has thousands of years of experience. He's a master at his craft. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he's working overtime in our day. He has desire to sift you as wheat. The sifting. But oh, blessed be his name for the supplicating. But the Lord says, "And I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Peter, in spite of his failures, could never lose his salvation. Because once you are saved for time and for eternity. And God's prayer is always, the Lord's prayer is always answered. Because he says, "Father, thou hearest me always. I have prayed that thy faith fail not." And Peter never lost his faith in the Lord Jesus. But what Peter lacked was courage. And so he lost his courage at the world's fire. But the Lord said, "I have prayed that thy faith fail not." And it's an absolute impossibility for a genuine child of God ever to lose their salvation. If it was possible, then we would have to be taken out of the Father's hand. In John 10:28, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one will pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. I was listening to a station in Nassau the other night, and it's absolutely amazing how some people can interpret the word of God that's so ludicrous. They said, it's possible for us to take ourselves out of the hand of God. That's a man propagating such nonsense over the air. Because the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Weymouth's translation says, I will take thee by the hand, and I will never let you go. No matter how far we get away from the Lord, he will never let us go. And if it was possible to lose one salvation, then the seal of the Holy Spirit would have to be broken. Paul said to the Ephesians, when you believe, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, blessed be his name. Yes, the seal of imperial Rome could be broken when the Lord rose from the dead, but the seal of the Holy Spirit will never be broken. Moreover, if it was possible to lose one's salvation, then the Holy Spirit would have to vacate the territory that he took over the day he got saved. Because again, we are reminded by the Lord Jesus. He said, I will send unto you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or know, but ye know him, and he will abide with you forever. Such is the accuracy of the Word of God. And we are his peculiar possession in spite of our failure. And he's taken up his residence in our hearts because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and he possesses us because of the value of the work that was done at the place called Calvary. And if it was possible to lose one's salvation, we would have to be taken out of the love of God. And Paul says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we would approach the Word of God in all its simplicity and its permanency, and to avoid these foolish interpretations. And if it was possible to lose one salvation, then our names would have to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. What kind of a bookkeeper would our God be if he allowed our names to be taken out of the Book of Life? Oh, we are so indebted to the man, Christ Jesus, who prays. And 24 hours a day he's praying for you and for me, ever living to make intercession for us. He never sleeps nor slumbers. I have prayed that thy faith fail not. And of course the proof is always found in the Word of God. Peter is a man, and that's why we love Peter. He always learns from his mistakes. And so when he wrote his epistle, he says, add to your faith. Now, Satan divides, but the Holy Spirit adds and multiplies. That's spiritual arithmetic. Peter says, add to your faith courage. That's what he lacked at the world's fire. Fail to testify for his master when the pressure came. Add to your faith courage, to courage knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you, and above, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how successful was the Lord's prayer on behalf of Peter. The sifting and the supplicating. Notice the strengthening in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, restored, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. But the Lord knew that there would be sunshine at the end of the dark tunnel. When thou art converted, the Lord knew that ultimately Peter would be restored back into fellowship with himself. Peter was a man with a soft heart when he denied his master with oaths and curses. He went out and wept bitterly. You see, he had the ingredients of a real shepherd. He wept bitterly. And the Lord's first exercise, as I mentioned, in resurrection was not to give the ministry regarding the Great Commission to go into all the world, nor to bring in the priceless meditations on the Sovereign Spirit. His first priority was to bring Peter back into fellowship with himself. So Paul says in resurrection, and he appeared unto Cephas. When he went out and wept bitterly, dear John took his brother home to mollify the wound. And John was a great instrument in the recovery of Peter. And then they ran, we saw together, to the sepulchre. Show brotherly kindnesses, Peter. Brotherly kindness add to your faith. Be kindly affectionate one to the other. That has a far-reaching effect in Christian experience. The Lord knew that Peter would become a tremendous vessel in his great service. But notice the succumbing. This was the problem with Peter. And he said unto him, the Lord had given him a warning. Satan had desired to sift you as wheat. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. The root of the problem was his own self-aggrandizement. I am ready. And then he said proudly, though all men forsake me, you can count on me, Lord. That's the problem with us, is it not? We get so elated and we get so elevated with our own importance. And again, the secret of great success in the work of the Lord is to take the lowly place. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with him, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a bondslave. That's the mind that pleases God, for you and me to become as bond slaves. And the Lord said to him, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. See, the Lord knows everything. He knows you and me through and through. And the bottom line is this. that we must hold fast to that which is good, and to lay hold fast upon the Lord, for His strength and protection, day by day, from the fiery darts of the evil one. The Lord allowed Peter to pass through the experience, as He did with Job. Satan says to God, "Your servant Job is in the spiritual business for personal gain. Look at him. He's the wealthiest man in all the East. Look at his cattle. Look at his wealth. All his resources." But the Lord was going to prove to Satan that he was wrong. "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." But the Lord allowed Satan to move in and try and test Job. But just like Peter, Job became the better for the experience. And in chapter 42, he's blessed beyond human comprehension. God speaks four times, "My servant Job, my servant Job, my servant Job, my servant Job." And wouldn't you and I like to have that commendation from the Lord? "My servant," well, it's possible. So there's a failure of Peter just for a few moments. In Acts chapter 9, Peter the shepherd, we see Peter with the family. Peter's faults, now Peter and the family. We see him in verse 32, with the saints. Every real shepherd will have an interest in the people of God. So Peter came down also to the saints. And truly, having been many, many years in the Lord's work, having been to 42 different countries, I can truly say as to the saints, which are in the earth, the excellent in whom is all my delight. Saints. Peter with the saints. In verse 41, he called the saints. Some years ago, while in construction, we were building a seminary in Rhode Island. And there was a gentleman walking around with a long flowing garment and a sash round his waist. And as the late Robert McClurkin used to say, he dressed like Mama, but he talked like Papa. And so I said to him, "How long did it take to become a brother?" He called himself a brother. "Oh," he says, "5 years to become a brother." Interesting. "How long does it take to become a priest?" "Oh," he says, 15 years of strenuous study. Then I said, "How long does it take to become a saint?" "Oh," he says, "after hundreds and hundreds of years of canonization, and then you might not make it." I said, "That's interesting." I said, "God tells me in His Word that you become a brother, you become a priest, and you become a saint in a moment of time. As to the saints which are in Christ Jesus at Philippi, saints are alive and well. And if a person waits until after they die and they are not converted, they will never become a saint. They will be lost forever." He's with the saints. And in verse 33, not only with the saints, but He is with the sick. And a good shepherd will always observe if one of the lambs or the sheep is sick. When I was a boy, my grandfather was responsible for a large farm in Scotland. And we learned a lot in those days from the shepherd and the sheep. They will always scrutinize the flock, and they are quick to detect if there's sickness in the flock. And Peter was such a shepherd. He was very alert. And he comes to this city called Lydda, And there was a man called Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. Now, just like the man in John chapter 5, he was 38 years by the pool. And he said, I have no man to help. Quite evident that this man was a man who was looking for help. And the seeking sinner will always find the seeking Savior. If there's a genuine approach, be assured that the great shepherd will be standing by to help. So Peter says, Jesus Christ, naked behold, arise and make thy bed, and he arose immediately. Who did the healing? Jesus Christ. He gave all credit to his master, the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. He is the one that can heal. That's why we keep praying for our friends who are so sick, away seeking help. He's the one who has the touch of the master's hand. But notice what Peter says. He said, arise and make thy bed. Whether in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm, you and I are raised from our sick bed and from the bed of sin to what? To what? Make thy bed. There are too many today, and they just want to be a passenger on the gospel ship. The Lord wants us to be active. He wants us to do something for him. He's done so much for us. The question is, what have we done for him? Some people can't even give the Lord a prayer meeting or a ministry meeting. Why, we're told to labor for the master till he comes, so that when he doth appear, we shall have this confidence that we won't be ashamed before him at his coming. Yes, says Peter, you get up and do something, and let's labor till the master comes, that when he comes, he'll be able to say of all of us, well done, good and faithful servant, with the sick, with the saints, and with the sick. But notice also that he was a man who was with the sinner. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon, or Sharon, saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if every soul in Spanish Wells would turn to the Lord? And it's not an impossibility, because the God that can move the thousands at Pentecost is still the same God. We have still the same precious Word of God. And we have still the sovereign Spirit who probes the hearts of men and women, longing for souls to be saved. And it is possible, if we work at it, make thy bed, work and work and work, contact your unsaved friend, your neighbor, and show kindness and love toward them, and you'll catch more flies with honey than you'll ever catch with vinegar, as the saying goes. Kindness goes a long way to bring people into the place where they can hear the gospel of the grace of God. What a harvest of souls! They all turn to the Lord. And Peter must have been a happy shepherd that day, not only to be with the saints and the sick and the sinner, but finally, we see him with the succumbed, the dead. Now, it's one thing to raise a man the sick of the palsy, but it's another thing to raise the dead. But you see, God gave that special power to these disciples. And isn't it amazing that the so-called faith healers today, they so demonstrate their magical powers, false healing, but they never attempt to go to the cemetery and raise the dead. Because it is not of God. But this man Peter had the ability to raise the dead. Here is this lovely lady, a woman who brought pleasure to the hearts of all, and thank God for women who we find in place. When you get a woman, a sister in place, you've got a treasure. If you get a woman out of place, you have trouble. Two women associated with Thyatira. One was Lydia, a seller of purple, and the other was Jezebel of Thyatira. Lydia of Thyatira was a jewel. She was a tremendous woman, saved at a prayer meeting, helped the apostle, gave them hospitality. That was a woman who was a treasure, a woman in place. But oh, that woman Jezebel at the church of Thyatira, she was in command, she was in control, and they was leading the saints astray. A woman out of place, and no trouble. But here is a woman, and she was in place. She was one who sewed coats and garments while she was with them, and Peter put them all out. He's following in the footsteps of his master. You remember when Jairus' daughter was sick, there was his professional mourner making a lot of noise, hired to mourn, and the Lord put them all out. Peter is following in the footsteps of his master. Did you ever see or hear of these so-called faith healers? They are not happy unless there are thousands of people there. Thousands of people. And they go through the motions of all the demonstration. I was in Ontario on one occasion. Went with a dear brother into a restaurant. He said to me, I've seen that waitress before somewhere. And then it dawned on him, he went out of curiosity to a so-called faith healing meeting. Oh, he said, I saw you before. You were one of these ladies that came up the aisle and got healed at that particular faith healing in Waterloo, Ontario. You know what she said? I'll do anything for a $100 bill. No wonder Peter says to the man that coveted power, thy money perish with thee. Only God can heal. The transitional gifts of God. And Peter put them all out. He didn't want any demonstration. He wanted all the glory to go to his master, because these so-called faith healers, they draw attention to themselves. And they get behind the pulpit and they jump around like a kangaroo. And it's an endless display of self. And it's not of God. God's man worked in seclusion. He put them all out. And this is the secret. He kneeled down and prayed. No wonder Tabitha arose. And then, what does Peter do? He doesn't call the president of the country, or the prime minister, or some high dignitary. He called the saints. Because it's only saints that are interested in physical and spiritual healing. He called the saints. And he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. Peter, the shepherd, Peter with his flocks, but here Peter with the family. Time is gone. We'd love to have looked at the other section, but maybe some other time. Peter and his focus in 1 Peter chapter 2. But you see how Peter not only was a fisherman, but Peter was a shepherd. And I believe these are the two areas sadly needed in the church today. Evangelists that can cast the net. We've been saying in private conversation as well as publicly that the day is coming when the gospel is not appreciated in some places. And there are some men cannot see with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because if they loved the gospel, they wouldn't be ashamed of it. They would preach it. And we need people that can be of the shepherd character to heal the wounds and to bind up the wounds and mollify the wounds and to fall shepherds. God says, woe to the shepherds of Israel that fleece the sheep and take no notice of the sick. And he brings an awful indictment on those who have assumed a place of responsibility that fail to look after the sheep. The Lord encouraged us to follow in the footsteps of Peter. He knew his failures, we know ours, but we can advance and be triumphant in the things of the Lord. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee again for giving us this record in the life of dear Peter. Lord, we knew in thy omniscience that Peter would be a great vessel. And so we thank thee for thy kindness to him and for the recovery. We pray again for recovery in all our hearts. We need revival. We would say with the prophet today, revive thy work, revive me. Revival begins with me, with the individual. So Lord, do take care of thy word. Encourage the saints. Give us a night, a crusade in the days to come that we will never forget. And many souls will come into thy kingdom, we pray. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Number 610. 610. I have a shepherd. One I love so well, how he has blessed me. Tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I may ever in his love confined, following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm us, and he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whate'er befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4, and the meeting will be over.